Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. We are back and thank you so much to everyone who enjoyed last week's episode with Mr. Teddy Darling. Loads of feedback. Everyone loved it and loved him, which I knew you would. So thank you very much for all your messages of support and for sharing the podcast. Really appreciate it. So for today, I was joined by two people. Double the joy. Two very special guests was, of course, the Bally Boys. If you do not know the Bally Boys, you need to know. They are hailing from Wexford, made up of Spaceman Steve and Dee the Antisocial, two brothers that are paving their way in Irish hip hop at the moment. They just released a new single called They Live, and the video is unreal. So if you're online googling now, the Bally Boys, They Live, and when I saw it, I was like, right, that's it, I need to get these guys in, I need to find out more about them. I didn't know that much about them. They don't do a lot of interviews, so I was delighted when they said that they would come in and have a chat. And we had such a chat, like, so random, talking about absolutely everything from how they got started to how, like, their creativity, you know, their inspirations, life, the usual. So I was delighted that they came in, and I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. So without further ado, as always, I know I say it every week, but thank you so much to everyone who is so supportive of the podcast. We really, really do appreciate it. And the most important thing is when you share the podcast and you pass it over to your friends and get them to listen, because the more listeners means that we can grow the podcast, and that is what we want to do. So thank you so much again. We really appreciate it. So I will let you go enjoy episode 58 of the First Exchange podcast with the Bally Boys. Lads, welcome. How are we?
Not too bad. Thanks for having us.
I'm so excited that you guys are up here. I know we're kind of catching up a little bit before you came in, but thank you so much.
Not a matter.
How is things?
Things are crazy. Things are crazy in the Bally universe right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, just off the back of a new single release.
Yeah, we're just. Yeah.
We just dropped They Live, which was our latest release featuring Citizen Black.
Yes.
So. And we had a music video to go with it, like, so.
Well, the music video, I want to talk about that very shortly. Part of the reason you're here is because of the They Live video, 100%. Obviously, you've seen the movie.
Yeah, They Live, yeah.
Yeah. Roddy Piper, let's go.
I mean, John Carpenter as well as a director and everything.
Like, incredible, right?
He's an OG. Like.
So, new single. Let's talk about the single before we move into the video and stuff. So, talk to me about release. I know you've had like solo releases, you've Bally Boys releases, you've done loads of stuff. So let's inform our listeners into how you got to this point and releasing this record.
Right. So I suppose over the last year or 2 years, mostly at the end of 2019, we started releasing our first kind of few music videos. I think the first one we released was Young Fellas. That was featuring Citizen Black as well. And then we followed that with You Know The Name, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, You Know The Name, and then Band From Telly, was it?
Oh, Band From Telly, yeah, which is another one.
Yeah, I love that.
And then Spaceman Steve's solo one came, which was One, which was produced by our cousin. We have a cousin in Paris.
We've done that at the start of lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the first ones, really. Our Easter Sunday we dropped it. But the beat was made by Raska, which is our cousin in Paris. He's a producer, like, so.
Cool name.
He'd make some master stuff as well, like, so he's always been in the loop since like day one, like, and back when we started, like, when we were first rapping and stuff. So he would have, when they were younger, like, and stuff like that, way they would have been in and around. Jack could play piano and stuff like that, so he's really talented. Like,
no
so.
Way. Well, for listeners that don't know, you guys are brothers.
Yeah, we're brothers. Yeah.
Steve is the youngest. I just literally saw Steve up the river when he came in. I was like, you're the oldest. I'm so sorry. Forgive me.
It's all the abuse.
So, well, that was what I wanted to kind of get at, is like, how did you guys like get to this point where you started making music together? Like, is home musical? Like, are your parents musical?
Not really. We kind of got into music just from the Mac, like the fucking garage band on the fucking Mac originally, where it kind of...
Stuff like that, yeah. We would have had, like, our parents, like... They wouldn't be musical, but me, our old father, like he would have been a big punk rocker growing up.
Drop a few names. What would he have been listening to?
Sex Pistols. Everything. Yeah. I think he met Johnny Rotten there last year, the year before in Prague. Yeah, and he was like, I don't know. He asked him to get him some stuff. Or I don't know why he was there, but Johnny Rotten was like. He goes to him, he's like, oh, you always a cunt, or do you practice it? Or something. He's like, you always this much of a cunt, or do you practice it? So he was like, don't meet your heroes.
But also Johnny Rotten, like, you expect him to say something like that. You'd be disappointed if he was like, mate, do you want a signature? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, he called you a cunt, that's
absolutely, put that on a t-shirt.
But yeah, so our lad, he would have been into punk rock. He would have had a big vinyl collection and stuff. And then... No one in our family really was musical. Like, I think we were the first ones to, like, discover, even, like, back in the day when we started making beats and all, it was all, like, just figuring it all out, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, even I think the first stuff we recorded, we were recording on drum kit microphones and stuff. You know what I mean? We didn't know what we were using or making the beats, so it was definitely a learning process, like, and even just, like, figuring it all out, how to sample, how to make the beats and... Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where we just, it was like reinventing the wheel for us, and there was no
right or wrong way of going about it as well, because like even just doing the same thing, someone can do the same thing, but you can go about it 10 different ways, like, so it was just mad seeing like just how all the other mates would go about making music as well, and you see how other people make it as well, it'll, I mean, it opens your eyes as well. Like,
but that's the beauty of music, in that like you can just explore it, and there's no wrong way. Exactly, music is music. Yeah. If music, once you can get it down, it's like that's it. That's all that matters, right?
If it feels good, you know what I mean?
Yeah. absolutely. So, like, how did it develop then? You know, like, what way do you write now?
I usually make the beats and stuff, like, and like when I hear a good beat or something, I'll get inspired, like, but Spaceman is the proper lyricist, like, he's been writing, like, so, like, even when we were young, like, so you've been writing since you're like 11 12, younger, maybe
I'd say about 13 properly, you know, into it, like,
and what would you have naturally been a creative writer, like, in school and stuff like that, or
I would have been creatively writing, but not like a fucking dyslexia and shit like that.
That's even more impressive.
Like, I wasn't able to fucking, it's trouble reading and trouble spelling, like, the whole time. So then it was just like kind of getting me away of, like, kind of, like, after I started writing rhymes and shit like that, my spellings were class after that.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean? So it kind of gave me a better push to kind of to understand words, and you know, always reading dictionaries and shit like that, just trying to look up new words and just always exploring with different things. But the way, like, writing kind of came to me was just like, just basically sit with MF Doom beats and you know what I mean, just sit there for hours on just instrumentals, and then it was, you know what I mean, it would come to me, like, I mean, it's just getting in the zone, just being comfortable kind of saying rhymes and joining, so it comes a thing on the daily as well, like, so you're waking up, you're
I found that as, like, it would be like a form of escapism as well, like,
of course,
when your head, like, I used to, like, you mean you'd struggle with your head and all, just the voices internally, like, and all, but you start writing a rhyme or something like that, and then you put your inner thought, like, to focus, and then you start like, once I discovered how to rhyme and stuff like that, it was like meditation for me, like, you know what I mean, like, and it was just a pure distraction from everything else that was going on around you, and then, like by the time we got into it and started making our first tracks, like, and they were muck, like, they were shite, like.
Well, I was about to ask, like, was it always good, or were they always terrible at the start?
I don't know, I think we were always kind of, like, a bit of piss taking a bit, like, as well as then trying to be a bit serious and all, like, and then...
Well, we loved having the crack on the tracks as well, right? It was the good banter as well, but then again,
never
when it got
element.
Down to it, we were like, no, we kind of want to be a bit serious about the whole thing, yeah. as well.
Well,
like,
universal anyway, yeah. because you can't, I mean, that's the thing as well, is like, there's, when you would go through certain experiences in life and all, and, you mean, they wouldn't be the happiest or whatever, like, you'd always be able to flip them on its head by bringing in humour into it. Or,
of course, the Irish way as well,
exactly.
isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I mean?
100%.
But, like, even there, like, so we would have had, like, we had a group for us, the Pyroglyphics. And that's where we were writing all kind of real spiritual rhymes, all old school kind of stuff. And then it's just all of our styles kind of, they were all not clashing, but just different styles, everyone. And kind of some people went some way, they started making trap music.
Yeah.
Others lads just stopped altogether. They went on a sesh the whole time and
yeah,
stuff. And,
oh,
and,
no.
and then it was like, it was kind of like we were bet on that. Like we'd done so much of it as well. Like it was like, oh, we just wanted to give it a shot, like give it a good
yeah,
go,
good
like
goal.
And see if we could do it. Like so, then, like we stopped writing for a while, then, and then
you
like,
moved to England for.
I moved to the UK for a few years and stuff, and you were in Prague for a while.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we moved around a bit, so we got separated, but we were always bouncing on rhymes
yeah.
and staying in touch.
Yeah,
on
we
rhyme.
Always kept writing. Like you know what I mean, you always kept writing, but we weren't really talking.
Yeah, we weren't talking or we weren't on it as a group or anything that
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
so
just
like
doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And then like when we came back then, me and him just like it was just me and him then by the end of it. Like you
yeah.
mean, everyone else had fucking gone their way or this, that, or the other. And
I think you got the solo gig or something.
Yeah,
I got
our district magazine to give me a slot at a gig, like, and I was kinda sick of it by then, like, do you mean?
Yeah.
I was like, this ain't going anywhere, like, and then I got up. I was really anxious as well about performing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was one of the things as well, but it was just like crippling social anxiety.
So
all
like
that,
until like, that point, were you just kind of doing stuff at home and like with the lads?
Home, yeah, like bedroom rappers, like you know, yeah. in your room. Or that, you know,
I'd be one of them myself.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. It was like we had a group around, and like I remember like the first times we were recording stuff like that, like we'd be in a corner of the room and like
yeah.
everyone had to get out of the room, like, do you know what
I mean? Yeah,
you just you were mortified. You just
yeah.
or then getting used to the sound of your voice on a track and
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
It was just sort of we went through all of that kind of stuff, like, and then
I sound like that.
Yeah,
yeah, you know I mean? No, yeah, 100%. The first time I ever recorded, I sat in a wardrobe yeah.
really?
And brought the mic in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Daniel, that was it. That ended up was the old music for air bands. I knew I wanted to sing, and he was like, I want you to sing on my records, like I
yeah.
know that you can do it, like it'll be really good. And I was like, no, I've never sang in front of people before, like recorded, I can't do it. It was only a little four track he was recording on at the time.
Crazy.
And I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit in the wardrobe. And I remember being sat on all the shoes and I was looking at the mic and I was like singing, but it was cool, you
yeah,
know once
yeah,
you get your confidence then
yeah.
and you like that when you start learning more and you start being more creative and confident with your voice,
yeah,
yeah.
like it's
that's
beautiful.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah,
what I mean? It's beautiful what
yeah.
you can do and what you can make. It's just like one of those things, you know. So how did you get over your stage fright then? Did you just do it?
Just doing it, man. I think
yeah.
it was like, oh, you mean you were like, oh, you're getting to this stage now. It's either now or never. Or, you mean
yeah.
one of those kind of things. It was a push, like, but. I remember it just being, oh, really anxious. Like, but once you get up there, then you're in the zone, like, and kind of...
Where was the fear? Was it, like, that people would see you, they would judge you, being looked at?
I think it's just...
The whole situation.
The whole
situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not until you get up on stage and you're there, and it's over, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was only 5 minutes of fucking flu,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you're there, shit.
And like, that's it as well, because even, like, the first gig we done as the Valley Boys, which, you know what I mean, you were like, puking the whole morning
oh,
before.
No
it,
way.
Was, it was like 8 miles or something.
Oh,
man.
It was.
Mom's spaghetti all over the
spaghetti
place.
All over the fucking place.
But,
that was rough.
But like I think when we started, like we, around the time we were the Pyroglyphics, like we saw that RTE documentary on the boys in all the Irish hip hop in Ireland.
Yeah. Oh shit. What was that called? Shit. What is who was in that game? Don't tell me. Feck it. I know exactly the one you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
Oh shit! This is the one. I know. I can see it. Actually, a friend of mine is really friends with. We were friends with one of the guys that was in it. Can you remember what that documentary was, Shane?
Origin.
No,
that's the newer one, which is.
There's one. It's years old.
Yeah,
like
it's years old.
I'm
but
Google
like, we saw like all the heads that were around on that and all.
Yeah.
And then like we saw the Working Class Boys and fucking. Started messing with their stuff then, like, and just like the way they rapped and all, and we ended up ended up going up to Ballymun then when we were like, I was young. 16, I think right? I was 16 or something. I was still rapping an American accent and stuff like that. Yeah, we still had that, like, you know what I mean? And then we had this mixtape, like, done up and we were there. I brought up this bong. I had a bong with the working class logo spray
painted. Did you know the lads at this stage?
I didn't know him personally, but...
Who is the guy who runs working class now?
I think Bob Pepper is running.
Bob Pepper sent me a message and he was like, gave me a list. You have to get all these boys on. I'm on it.
Shout out to Bob.
Shout out to Bob. I think it was after the Little Dialect because we had Paulie was in here as well.
Yeah, shout out to Paulie as well, man.
Big up, Paulie.
We were there. I think I went up to buy a beat off Gitsy. And so we went up there and brought him this bong and all this. And they were shooting a documentary or something. And we spit a few bars and all. But I was still rapping American accent. But we gave him this mixtape and it was full of me rapping like an accent and stuff. So I was like, as soon as I gave him, they were like, oh, you got sick bars and all, but just lose the accent and keep rapping in your normal accent. So I just wanted to take the CD back off
So
that was the kind of the boys always showed us love as well. And we'd always come up, we'd get the bus up to Dublin and see all the gigs that were going on, and you'd hang around then, jump in the ciphers at the end and all. I mean, spent a lot of time chatting away with Costello and stuff and all.
Yeah,
growing up,
I really want to get him in here, he's a hard man to get a hold of.
He's sick. He's so good, man.
He's old school. He is an OG, right?
He is next level. And his sound is a power, man. But he's all of his stuff is just knowledge. He's like a poet. He'd be a modern day poet. But he is. Costello. I've had plenty of time for Costello, because he's just. You learn so much from his lyrics, and he's on point. He loves the weed as well.
He does, absolutely. Yes, he does.
Happy days,
yeah. He certainly does. Yeah. Holy shit, you would see him on Instagram. But it's so cool the way there's such a community. Yeah. I mean, Irish music anyway is a community, right? But if you kind of veer off, there's all these little subcultures and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. And I love that, your music community always, support each other. Very supportive, you know?
There's not a lot of us out there. So, you have to fucking be repping with all the voices.
It's getting a lot more nowadays, definitely. It's definitely becoming a lot more...
Do you feel like you're being more respected now than, back in the day? Or is there still that thing of, why are Irish people rapping?
Probably is that somewhere. I don't know. We do get a bit of love for our stuff. Yeah. Like, you mean so?
Hot Press is always bigging you up.
Yeah,
Stuart Clark is always talking about you.
Yeah, the Stuart, man. He's one of the only magazines that will
kind of do our stuff and fair
play to him, because you mean they've always given us slots, they've always supported us, always shared our videos. That's just been, we can't thank them enough for that. That's the, when you do get that kind of stuff, it does encourage you to keep on making music and keep on doing
100%.
It. 100%. Because even the way we are, I don't know, it's hard to connect with your fan base or find out who they are even. Mm-hmm. And if you're not heard of or you're not seen, they can't find you either. So as you go on, it does get a bit disheartening as you go along, if you're not kind of, getting the right feedback for it, or... I don't know, because it is. It's a lot of time and money you put into this stuff.
Tell me about it. Yeah, 100%.
So it's you'd like to get it to the right audiences and the right market, at least to say you've given it a good shot.
How or what do you think could be done to help support you and your genre of music more over here? Where do you need the support?
Jeez.
More kind of outlets and more places to kind of get the gigs that were,
getting gigs is definitely a hard one. Even on the to get slots on at the festivals and stuff, it's very to do it all yourself as well as we're making our own videos, we're recording our own stuff,
we're completely on our own social
media, we're doing everything ourselves, and then. So you do need support of getting it out there, even marketing, media and all. You have to learn how to do all these things yourself.
100%.
You know what I mean? And there's no shame in doing it either, because you learn about what's involved in it, and then if you do pay people down the line to do it for you or whatnot, you know what to expect from them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think as well though, we're in a time now where back in the day, maybe it was kind of, I need to have a manager. I need to have a press rep. I need to have somebody that's going to go in there and do the talking for me. But I think it's a lot more genuine now if you're like, we're doing this ourselves, yeah, and it's a lot more respected, I feel.
Completely, yeah.
But also definitely still recognize that, like, to get on the big festivals like Electric Picnic or Oxygen or whatever it is, you do need to have a contact. Like, you can't just ring up MCD and be like, yo, we're dropping a new single.
We've tried. You know what I mean? This is it. Like, you try so many things. Like, and I think a lot of that as well is, like, it's just about knocking on doors until someone opens. Really.
Yeah, and do you know, for those big festivals, like, put the Irish acts on, like, that are new and upcoming, put them on at 2 o'clock in the day.
Yeah.
Put them open and the gates open. Don't pay them and let them just have a free ticket for the weekend. Because I know that, like, yous are delighted with that. You're just going to get all your crew to rock up at 2 o'clock, early session, let's go. And then you get to enjoy the rest of the weekend and mix and network. And, like, that's what, like, so, you know, so I understand, like, you know, should be paid, but there's a bit of give and take. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think I done a few courses there about the music industry recently and stuff, and finding out more about it. Like, and they're basically saying, like, so the most paid artists out there, like, you could say, are Beyonce's and John McCarthy's, right? And they get like 75% of their income is from touring, and stuff like that. Then the rest is streams or whatever. Like, but it's only a small percentage of artists out there that are as big as them and can get those kind of opportunities as well. Like, so it is a lot of it is, I think, when you figure out the facts and stuff like that, and you just walk with reality and not from the disillusions in your head or to be, I mean, disillusioned. Yeah. But it is a tough hustle. And even like when we've done gigs, like we make a bit off of selling t-shirts or some shit like that. But like, I think the most we made off of one night, like, from selling t-shirts was like 70 quid.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? And then that has to be split between the two. So
So if you think they need to pay for the t-shirts.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know that what I mean? As well. Like, so it's all massive overheads. Like, so I think, it is. It's tough, but we found out young, you mean?
And you're still young. You're only babies. Come on, like, you're not even 30 yet.
I feel like I've lived about 7 lives.
Trust me, when you get to 36 like me, you'll definitely feel like that. I'm like, is this my fifth life, or, like, have I been here before? But, like, even what we're saying about gigs, like, like, you know, people listening will probably, that don't understand the music industry, will be like, just put on your own gigs. Do you know how much that costs? You know how much it costs to rent a venue? And, if you don't fill it up at, like, 70% capacity, whatever, you're at a loss, and, like, there's so many different variables that go in. So, like, the whole lot, it's like, it's all there. But anyway, let's talk about the more positive side of stuff. So obviously the videos are a huge element, and you guys do those as well.
We take our time with the videos, don't we?
Well, we do and we don't really. It depends on which one we're doing. Like, you know what I mean? So depends on how much is into it. We usually say between each other, right, we'll throw in a budget. Like, say Young Fellas, the first video we shot. We'll throw a budget of 500 quid. So we bought the Mercedes for that. Like, you know what I mean?
The whole budget. Get the car.
That was gone. Just all we needed was the car. Got the suits out of a charity shop and shit.
Love it.
And then we just put one of the boys in the boot, like, and just covered him in blood and syrup and all that. Like, so, but that was like, and then we had a lad shooting that for us. He had his own camera, like, he had a red cam, it was an unreal camera.
Yeah.
He actually got robbed around the corner here.
No way.
Did
I tell you I got a red cam there a couple of
times? He was there.
Shane unveiled the red cam.
It was our second gig. And we were sporting Lethal Dialect and all this. Like,
Go on.
So it was class. It was
in the Button Factory.
No way.
Yeah.
So fucking, we were buzzing for that, but we had your man anyway. We called him up, and he's a lunatic, like, but he was there and he videoed the whole gig, like,
best show ever.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this, boys. You're gonna make it.
Yeah. So then he was there. I should have got the footage off him after, but he went down around the corner here then and started talking to a few heads. I don't know who he was talking to, like, and told him everything he had in his bag, like. And then he said, oh, can you watch me bagging and going for a piss? And he went for, the tick hunters out there have it robbed on him. Like, you know what I mean? But so that was that footage gone. That's never happening again. So.
First Street of Dublin, don't do that.
Don't do that. But he was a Yank. He was a Yank, so he just didn't.
Trusting American guys. He'll learn.
But like, after that then, so we had another lad kind of helping us shoot our videos and stuff, but it just wasn't working. Like, so then I saved up for a camera board and I said I had to get it in my own hands. Like, I mean, and just because I knew what I wanted to see. Like, cause it was around the Spaceman Steve video. We shot it once with another lad and I just didn't like what I seen, so yeah. I was like, I can't waste this set or this costume and all that. It has to be seen the way I want it to
yeah,
be seen. Like,
deadly,
so.
Yeah.
So then we started taking everything into our own hands then and just...
So, like, are you properly doing up a storyboard and, like, you know...
Yeah, some of it is, like, so Young Fellas was a bit storyboarded. They Live was kind of, like, pulling from reference of the film, but also... a bit improvised, and then
storyboarding for Band from Telly.
That was a nightmare.
Really?
Yeah, that was so hard. Like, that was basically, that was inspired about, like, when I used to be in the pub, I'd be drinking a bit, I'd be sitting in the pub and I'd always watching Reeling in the Ears.
Yeah, what a classic. Like, yes. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So that would come on. I was like, oh, fucking, that's class. Like, so then we just, like, chopped up a load of clips that we found, you mean, from back in the day, and just green screened our faces in on them.
Yeah.
But it took ages. Like, I think I got a lad on Fiverr in Afghanistan to do all the green screen.
Big up Fiverr. Yeah, the hidden gem. I have gotten myself out of a lot of holes with Fiverr, let me tell you.
I tell you, Fiverr is the future.
Is some dude in Indonesia is like doing up new logos for €6 or something. It's the best thing ever. And he's like, thank you so much. Like, this is about 900 quid over where I am. Like, you know what I mean? Such a buzz.
So, like, he done that. Like, that took ages. You know what I mean? But it was worth, like, worth in the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get a good laugh. Yeah, we got a good laugh out.
But, like, and then, like, yeah, I suppose, like, the other ones, they're storyboard to a certain degree. Like, but it's usually all in my head before. Like, you know what I mean? Which is annoying for everyone that works with me.
Yeah, of course, because, like, they can't be inside your head. Yeah. They just have to, like, obviously, the fact that you're brothers is good.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you can trust each other.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Definitely there's that, like, trust there. Is it... Like, do you butt heads as well, though? Being that close?
Yeah, because we live together as well. We bought a house together. Mate. We fucking, you know what I mean? We work together.
Yeah.
So it's grand, like, you know what I mean? But we get on, like, more, and we always have each other's back. But, yeah, there is, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, love it. Actually, love it. You know knocking lumps out of each other back in Wexford. Come on.
Right.
Who wins in the scraps? Come on, Steve.
Give me that one.
Do you train? Do you do a bit?
Boxing before.
Come on, where did you box?
New Ross.
Very good.
But we were doing it before the COVID, and then like the COVID came in, and it was like, stayed away from it then. But I've been training with a personal trainer since then. Like, especially get through the winter months, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because absolutely. But she can train with each other. You can build a little ring down the gap down there.
Yeah, well, that happens. Sometimes we will be like, but it's I don't know. It's just during the winter months, it's quite hard to fucking
motivation
is.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were like. Before that, I was doing a bit of boxing and stuff like. But it is, I found it quite good for the mind.
Yeah.
Everything, like, to me. And even, like, because I gave up the drink, I think, about 2 years ago.
Come on, why? Why'd you quit?
I was a rip-roaring alcoholic for a while.
Like. No way.
Yeah, man. I was just, like, that was before the Ballyboy stuff, and I was just wasting my life away. I fell out with a lot of mates, just wasn't happy. You know what I mean? Wasn't happy with myself. Throwing it all away, like, where we live then, our village is 0.8 of a mile away from us, right?
Yeah.
So there's a local pub up there, like, there's two pubs over there. I'm barred out of both of them now. one for life.
For life?
Yeah, yeah. But then I was like, I don't know, I just got into this habit of after work going, I wasn't even drinking too much, but I was like, drink about 3 pints after work, and doing that every evening. And then it got into such a habit where I couldn't break the habit, and it was just every day I was drinking, like, and just it was really bad at one stage, like, and then I don't know, it all just came to a head where I was like, I'm fucking sick of wasting my life, like, and I knew I wanted to do so much more, I wanted to be so much more, and then like I thought about going to the AA for a while. I was in contact with them and shit like that, and people that I knew that went to AA, they were like saying, I don't think you need it that much, like, you mean, it's pretty fucking heavy and all, like,
Why did they think that you didn't need it?
I don't know, maybe it was because I was young, maybe it was just probably, I don't know, I felt like I couldn't quit myself, but I just went cold one day then and just turned me back on it for months. I got off it for a year and a half, and then when the lockdown shit came in again, it's crept back in a little, like, you know what I mean? But
amazing.
I was so productive off of it and stuff that way. And then, like, I filled up all my time
You were pretty productive on it, though. Yeah. It is really good. Wake up the next morning, like, what the fuck do we do?
So I was just about to ask you, were you concerned for your brother during this time? Obviously not. He was churning out tunes. You're like, keep going.
It was obviously there was big concerns, like, but sure. One of us are as bad as each other.
It's
very admirable that you recognize that within yourself this early on. Because, like, I had a similar thing, but I was 30. I probably was having a midlife crisis in some kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I then stopped drinking for years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm like, I'm okay. I know I can have a couple of drinks and then not be go back to where I was.
Where you were.
But I know that, like, same thing with me with Lockton. I was like, feck it. I was so busy with Fight Connect TV that I was going to shows every weekend. And I was dodging those times where you would be drinking, Saturday nights when you're out or whoever. Then when I found myself at home, I was like, come on, I'll have a drink. And then I was like still training, still doing my work, but then it was like 4 o'clock in the day and I'd be like, fuck it, I'm having a bottle of wine, let's go. And then it'd be 8 o'clock and I'd be ringing everyone and screaming abuse down the phone. Everyone's like, are you back on the drink? fucking pandemic, fuck you all.
I thought the world was ending. I said, fuck this.
Literally, that's why I was like, I'm going out on my bleeding, I'm on a rocket, here I go.
I think your man that like invented AA as well, like on his deathbed he was screaming for a bottle of whiskey.
It never leaves. And even like come up to Christmas, like obviously I have a couple of drinks at Christmas or whatever, nothing heavy. I just, same thing, as soon as it was New Year's Day, I was like, right, that's it, I have to be off it.
Yeah.
And like, what are we now, March, and I just feel like back to myself.
I can't even
have one glass of wine. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I wish I could. I can drink anyone under the table. And I know that's like, it's not even saying it like, you know, I drink anyone under the table. I'm not proud of that.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Like, I have to.
I don't know how to go to bed. You know what I mean? I will keep going. And I terrorize all my friends like 6 o'clock in the morning. Let's go. You know what I mean? But I'm just so much, I'm a better human without it.
Yeah, completely. I'd agree with that. I think when I did, like, I remember like the first few times giving up, having to go to like festivals and all and not being drunk and stuff. That was weird.
I've never done it.
Doing gigs without it and all that as well. Yeah. And I was grand. It was good. And I think when I proved to myself I could do all that shit. Even when I went back at it again this time, it was like,
The thing was, when we first started doing the festival, we had to have a few drinks just to kill it. I have to have one there to kill it.
What would be your shit-faced going out onto the stage?
Bottled up.
What would be your, like, tip of the fancy? What were you, like, just pints or?
Pints, yeah. Pints.
Spirits?
This time around, I've had a bit of whiskey.
Still love a little bit of whiskey.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything in moderation.
When
you start to tell yourself stuff like, I can never drink again. Or stuff like that.
That's when you want it more.
And I say, look, I'm just going to try my best and see how it goes.
You're not an Aquarius by any chance, are you?
No, Capricorn.
Oh, it's so close! Shane! Boom!
I'm on the cusp.
You're definitely a water sign, a Pisces or Cancer.
No, Scorpio.
Oh, damn it! He threw me off. Yeah. I should have spent more time on that. Very interesting. The goat and the scorpion.
Yeah.
Do you have a bit of a sting in your tail?
Little.
Fair sting. Fair sting in the slap.
Can I just add, Scorpio is a water sign, so I did get it right. Scorpio is a water sign.
I don't know.
We had some crack last week with Terry Darren. I was like, are you a Leo? And he was like, no, I'm a Sagittarius. I was like, oh, fuck. And I had this big thing. And then he was like, tell me about myself. I was like, right. And I grabbed my phone. I was like, Sagittarius is. He's like, you rat, put the phone down. He's still, like, a week later, he sends me all these messages. We're like, can't believe believe you. Being pulled up Google on the phone. We good crack, yeah. But it's my thing now. Everyone that listens is like, I get all these DMs. People have been like, what is the deal? Why do you ask everyone what star sign they are when you're going on? I'm like, it's a little fun thing. Yeah. Just to break the ice. But yeah, so that's amazing, man. Congrats to you. Well, we should celebrate. Yeah, we should celebrate with a pint sometime soon. Right, yeah. Congratulations to sober life with a pint. But,
like, yeah, I don't know. Like, even after that, then and all, we just like after like I stopped drinking, all just got like more true into that stuff.
Yeah,
and, like,
focused.
I find myself now is like I'm too into the stuff I was doing now to want to drink either. Like, because it's like if I drink, then I can't drive, I can't go anywhere, I can't do this, that, and the other. So you just have to like.
Yeah.
So how do you? What is your release? If drink is gone, like, how do you...
Weed.
When people say that to me, they're like, would you smoke weed? I'm like, no. And they're like, fuck, fair play to you. Well, I get punched in the face for fun. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I train and I find that when I train Muay Thai, that makes me feel... It sounds so weird, but when I go home after being punched in the face for 2 hours, I feel like happy to be home, and you're just it makes you, it's your release. Yeah, I'm just happy to be alive, and it's so weird. No one really gets it except people who get punched in the face for fun.
Yeah, no, like the scrapping, the boxing was good release.
It's that release.
Like, like that got any extra energy you had in you out. You know, what I mean? So, but yeah, like even. Just blazing a bit. I don't smoke as much as I used to back in the day. Like,
it kind of goes hand in hand with the creativity thing as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, like, would talk us through the process. Like, would you like smoke a spliff to write? Would it be recording? Is it all the time?
Exist.
I think it's Spaceman just smokes it to exist.
Great. You know what
I mean? So, I'd be more of a nighttime smoker. I like it to like just knock whatever bit of energy I have in me out of me. You know what I mean?
I do find it interesting, like, of because so like let's not beat around the bush. So many people smoke weed, and the different ways that people smoke weed, their patterns of like you know, some people would be at night before bed. Yeah. Some people would be just on the weekend. Some people are like wake and bake. I find it really interesting. Like, I've obviously smoked weed before. I broke my ankle. Right, actually, Paddy's Day, three years ago. Really? Broke my ankle. I got taken down doing jiu-jitsu, a really terrible takedown. And I split my ankle leg into four different places, right? You follow me on Instagram, I'll put up the video next week. I like to do like an anniversary snap. I'm like, oh, look where my leg came from. But my new bionic leg. But when I broke my ankle and I couldn't do anything, I didn't want to drink. So I was like, I'm going to fucking blaze it up here. Like, literally don't smoke weed at all. And I was like, get me the weed. Like, just I was so depressed. And like, I realized at that point that I can't take anything. I can't have anything. I can't take drugs. I can't smoke weed. I can't drink. I can't take prescription pills. Can't take Xanax. Nothing. Because I've got an addictive personality.
Yeah, same.
And it just will not end.
So I
need to just have nothing. Do you know what I mean? And just.
I definitely have an addictive personality. Yeah,
100%.
I can't even like doing stuff and stuff with the videos and I'm like that. Like, I'm unreal. Like, I can't stop or chill out or stop doing anything. Like, you'd be more like chill.
He'd chill out.
Like, and then. Yeah. Boy, just be constantly.
I'd have no routine either. Like, you know what I mean, I'd like to say I have some routine, but then like as soon as I think I have it, then I'm up to like fucking 3 o'clock in the morning, and then jog, and then the next day, and then you're not doing nothing then for a week. It's
just keeping busy.
Routine is so hard.
It's hard to get into, like, but it is. There's a lot to be said.
But it's key. It's the answer to everything. It's routine and like, it's routine. And it's structure.
Yeah, structure.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I tell you, with just even the lockdown and shit, it's just after trying to have a routine during something like this is fucking madness as well, because it's just changing so much. Well, like, I mean, obviously, I'm just not fucking... I'm a night owl, like, you know what I mean, at times. Like, so.
Do you stay up all night?
Yeah, but then I'd be in bed then at fucking 10 o'clock then
the next night, you know what I mean?
It's just catching up on you.
Catching up on it.
Oh, when you get into your 30s, you'll be in bed at 10 o'clock like me, I'm telling you. But like, how has this last year affected you? Because obviously it's great that you get to be creative and we're all kind of...
Got loads done in the garden.
But it's been a mad year, right? I feel like we'll be saying it's a mad decade, right? Probably, you know, it doesn't seem like this is ending anytime soon.
I think it will, though.
I think it will come to an end pretty soon and stuff, but I don't know. I think the vaccination stuff is a bit crazy.
How nuts is it?
I mean, I don't think this is all experimental. You know what I mean? And to force people as well, and the language they're using around it to get people to do it, I think it's like bullying and coercing people into getting it. And it's big pharma and big money for them as well. Again, there's no clarity around the whole situation and everything. Even like when they said, "Oh, you can't." Oh, take away points there. Oh, you mean Micheál Martin when he was there saying oh, enough of that now, pubs, you just want to cop on. But he never said it's illegal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then all the pubs just shut their pubs and there you hear last week, the week before saying, oh no, we're allowed to sell takeaway points. Yeah. It was never so why are they doing that?
I think there was a pub in Dublin, Cavanaghs, fuck this, we're just opening. And they came out in the news and was we actually can't stop anyone from doing that.
Exactly.
But yet no one opened their doors.
No, there's door. But this is it. It's just the fear-mongering and stuff like
How can the thing that and I absolutely agree with you it's like how can I go to anywhere that's open right now and buy something, walk into a Dunn's or a Spar or all these big corporations and buy something, and then I can't go to a local shop that sells something?
They just want everyone out of business or bankrupt or broke, so they sell
which is where
assets.
The conspiracy is coming in.
Are they conspiracies? Well,
the list is being ticked.
even that word conspiracy was suppose it was invented by the CIA.
It was invented by the CIA when JFK was killed, and it was to discredit people who believed that it was an internal job.
Yeah.
Now we know that he actually was assassinated by the FBI, it wasn't. The conspiracy theories were actually factual, but
it could be let's say 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and they're all saying how did you let this go on?
Let's look at the Magdalene laundries and all the shit that's happening there.
Now. And the worst thing about all that stuff, right, is all those people that are responsible for that are dead now, right? And that's what bugs me about this is no one has ever brought to justice when they're alive. You know what I mean? It's always when they're dead or they're on a deathbed. Even your man that put all the Jews in the gas chamber, Ivan the Terrible, I think his name was.
Yeah.
He was persecuted near but he's an old man. You know what I mean, shitting on himself in a bed? what good is that?
This is it.
They need to be brought to justice while they're well able and capable of doing it. 100%. I don't know. It's.
I feel you on this. Okay? Because I also have the tendency to go right down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and that's where I don't really want to go either.
It's a dangerous path, and you're you'll never work again.
No.
Let me tell you, will never work again.
Exactly.
But also, and that, and then I also have the logical ends of my brain as well, right? Yeah. That I kind of try to balance the two. Mm-hmm. And the fact that even having a conversation about something that's happening there, and the fact that there is risk involved in that, that's what pisses me off.
Yeah, completely.
And we have to live in a world where we can comfortably sit and hear things
and
that we don't agree with or that we disagree with, because otherwise, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? I remember, I always bring back to my friend John Connors, the actor. But when he was in here, you know, we agree on so much, but there's other stuff that we don't agree on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he obviously got a lot of stick in the press for his stance on his pro-life stance when the abortion referendum was coming in. And I'm pro-choice, right?
Yeah.
So when he was in here, we were discussing that. And I was like, I don't love you any less for having that view.
Completely, yeah.
And I don't feel threatened as a woman that you have that view.
Yeah.
Because he's not standing, you know, he's allowed to have that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that we are now in a situation where people are able to hear things that they don't agree with and to sit here calmly and be like, I don't agree with that, but I respect you being able to have your opinion on
definitely
things.
But they don't, though.
Some people don't. I think the thing is as well, it's you can have a disagreement with people, but it's also respecting their points and where they come from. And this is it as well. When you talk to people as well, you realise you have more things in common with them than you do you don't have in common.
Absolutely.
So it's that one thing you don't have in common.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, we have so much other things in common that we can build on. You can build from there. You know what I mean? But
I think as well, even aside from political agenda or like, you know, the whole coronavirus thing or whatever, even just in terms of disagreeing with people or not having the same viewpoint as people, like when you break it down, when you break down the psychological aspect of it, like we are our environment. We are what we've been raised in. Like our view of the world is based on what we were shown. Do you know what I mean? So of course you're going to have a different aspect or a different version of reality to me and like somebody else on the other side of the world is going, like that's what makes the world so beautiful, is that we're all fucking different and that we can all coexist, you know what I mean? It's like one of those crazy things, but
that's what makes the world the world, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes,
definitely.
I actually was about to do a course of Heal the World and then I had to stop myself really quickly. Actually, the most uncool person in the world. I was actually going to break out Michael Jackson in the middle of this conversation. Fuck me. But you know, but coming, bringing that all back to your lyrics, you know, do you feel like, what I know you spoke that at the start, that you were kind of like the more spiritual end of lyrics and stuff like that, like what do you like to write about now, like what's important to you?
I think like usually it's usually down to the track and what we're working on, really, or what we come out with. Maybe he'll come out with a fresh verse and then I'll just try pen to or walk around it. Like, we have another track in the line. Our next release is more, it's more kind of just like rapper stuff, like you say. It's, I mean, it's all about shoes and kicks.
Who are the inspirations? Like, when you look at rap, like, who inspired you?
I think, like, growing up, sure. Like, Eminem would have been one of the first that we would have came along. Like, I remember my sister got, I think, the Slim Shady LP. She got it for her birthday, like, and I just remember hearing that and just blasting it over and over again, like, and just going for that. And then Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg and stuff. They were, like, the first ones with hip-hop. And then Tupac, yeah, like, he ended up getting a Tupac CD for Christmas, didn't he?
Yeah, one Christmas.
No way.
Best Christmas.
What record was this?
It was a remix one or something.
Yeah, it was a remix one, but it had the Hail Mary on it, and How Do You Want It?
Yeah. I mean, like, so there was always that, and then I think, we went to searching then through that and just going through
Cypress Hill,
massive Cypress Hill fans. We had all their albums and stuff. And then
everyone from Wexford was mad on Cypress Hill.
Yeah, too, right. as it went on then, it was like, obviously all the classic New York, Wu-Tang, stuff that, Big L, you know what I mean? Yeah. All of them. And then when we came across the Irish hip-hop, and we started making hip hop ourselves, it was like kind of like stopped listening to people and just started creating. You know what I mean? So then it was, just listening to
taking bits from everything. Like, you know what I mean? It's just more kind of the inspiration of kind of the whole lot of what we were kind of listening to around that time as well. That kind of.
But then when it comes to our own stuff, then as well, it's like you're not. You mean you have to be your own version of yourself? Exactly. Like, so we were like, then it was like the Bally Voices. Then it was like, we have to bring that kind of side of who we are.
Our own slang into it as well. Yeah, like, make sure just the words we use.
Yeah, and the personalities, like, or our area, or what it comes from, the way we were raised, around the way, you mean, living in the country. Like,
what are some words that, like, what are some, like, staple Bally Boys words that we'd see in some of your tracks?
Jeez, you know. I don't know. It's mad, like, where you go as well, there's different meanings and stuff. Like, queer down in Wexford is like really good, or good, that's quite good. Whereas up here, it's like, oh, he's a queer fella, means he's a nonce. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, the way you go is different things. I mean, like, I found that in England as well. Like, I got knocked out one night in Brighton.
I
went up to this group of fucking geezers, man, and I was like, all right, boys, any fags? And then they just straight fired, knocked me out. I spun around his heart, man. I got up and I was like, what the fuck? I was out of my head. Like, and then it was like, I was like, why did he hit me? And then your man came up. He's like, mate, you shouldn't have said that to him. I was like, so what? It was like, fags. You know what I mean? Like, I have American friends as well. Like, they say, oh, you can't. You mean, if you say that over here, you want to go smoke a fag, it means you want to go shoot a homosexual.
You know what I mean?
Like, so it's like, you have to be careful. But yeah, where you are, you're different. Like, you know,
is the thing.
It means something different everywhere. But like, yeah, I don't know. Like, the way we talk as well and all, it's not,
It's very hard to understand.
Yeah, some people.
I understand you fine, but yeah, like, obviously, right. I'm from Waterford. Although people say we don't really have an accent in there.
That's what we think as well, but sure.
Yeah. Ireland is so, like, you mean you go, like, even like New Ross, which is 5 minutes away from us, they have a different accent.
So everywhere
you go in Ireland, it's there's a different accent. I mean, like, within 15 minutes of the distance.
Like, so. Crazy,
like. But yeah, no, I think it's just like, yeah, just trying to, like, I mean, just. It's just trying to bring our own stuff. We're just trying to make the music that we want to make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because exactly. It was like, even when we started making music, we were listening to all the shit on the radio. We're like, this is all shit. We don't really
try and be something we're not either, though. Yeah. So like, we're not really a fan of that glorifying fucking.
It's a fine balance, a bit of everything. You know what I mean? Like, we love our fucking bits of everything. You know what I mean? And also when the time comes to be real about a subject as well, we can be that.
You know what I mean, of course, it's
a fine balance between them, from having the crack, mostly having the crack, because you mean
but that's good though as well, that if you're able to bring in that humor element and be able to speak about something topical or something like cultural or whatever is going on,
people will listen a lot more when it's something
absolutely like, and so you're kind of like, you don't want to be like preaching down someone's neck.
I don't like that, no one's fucking God either, no one's perfect either and everyone that's trying to go on about that shit, it's like,
it's good, but
practice
you get
what you preach.
That's it as well, like, and it's good. It's I think, like, as well, like, from like how the originators of hip hop, how they looked at and viewed it as well. Like, I mean, it was four elements: the graffiti, the breakdancing, the writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all that. Like, so that's like, I think, like, we're really, when it comes down to it as well, like, aha, we have hip hop at heart.
Yeah.
And we want to do hip hop justice in a way.
Yeah, of course.
So, right, we're not from the Bronx or any of this stuff, so we're not going to act like we're from the Bronx. Like, we're from Ballywillam, the back arse of the order. Yeah. You know what I mean? But we're still like, you know what I mean? We still like, like, it's the beats, it's, you mean, I love hearing snares and stuff like that. It's like, it's all about that, and it's, you bring all those elements together, but then just put your own brain in there and just see what comes out. Like.
Well, it's funny, Teddy Darling, who was on last week, he actually, when we were talking about hip-hop and Irish hip-hop, and he had was telling me about how there is a theory that hip-hop originated in Ireland, and that it was brought to the Bronx, and that it's from like all the Shanachie like singers and stuff back in the day.
He was
like, I must tell you about it. I must actually drop a message and get him to send me. He was going to voice note me where he heard about it and stuff. But if we were responsible for Nas, like, what?
I know.
You know what I mean? Come on.
I think, like, even the Native Indians, supposedly they like gave us Harlem.
No way.
I think like Say Brendan or something, he used to like travel across the seas.
But
I think supposedly they think, because they used to play a game with sticks and a ball over there, so they think that's how they either brought it over or vice versa. You don't know.
Well, they're not getting it.
Yeah.
That is ours.
Yeah,
we've nothing. We're keeping Ireland. Fucking hell. But even, do you ever watch those documentaries on the Jamaican Irish?
And they're just the coolest looking
like black Jamaicans with like Kerry accents.
So it's
from the priest being over and like so cool. Like, it's just deadly.
That's class. Like, that whole history there in itself is just amazing. Like,
yeah, right.
Mean, there's so much mad little things like that in the world. Like, you mean, like they say, like how we formed as well, or where it came. It could have been Middle Eastern or stuff that way. Yeah. Because they say the black hair and the accents up the north and how they sing in the Shanachies is very similar.
How they
sing out in the Middle East, like.
Totally. But that's interesting as well, what you're saying about like the graffiti and the art and that. It's so interesting. And definitely in Irish hip hop.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like that as well, though. It's like the graffiti element isn't as much in hip hop as it used to be or something. Or maybe it's the music that's coming out nowadays. But
maybe so. Yeah, maybe that's fair to say. Mm. But there's I think all the guys are like, take control of the creativity down to the artwork, right?
Yeah,
that kind of stuff, and that's really powerful, you know what I mean, that you don't have to be, you're just taking control of it. Do you do a bit of breakdancing?
No, I never.
You're live on Facebook. Get on the ground.
Didn't do breakdancing. I used to paint graffiti. It started with stenciling and stuff that way, and then when I went to live in Brighton, I lived in Brighton for a year or two, and then I started following all the graffiti writers around there.
Yeah.
Started videoing them.
Yeah.
And then, like, met this Arrow MSK. He's Unreal, that's his name. Like, but he designed the logo as well, the Baddie Boy logo.
So well, you brought me in a T-shirt. I'm absolutely delighted. I wasn't gonna buy one on your website earlier on. I was looking at it. I was like, I was gonna buy either T-shirt or one of your little bags.
But
it's really cool. So he designed this.
He designed that for us. Like, but
sick.
But like, even the name, the Baddie Boys, like Baddie
Boys,
like we were drinking in the pub, like, and like. One of the locals, the Gobbler, came in.
The
like,
Gobbler?
Yeah, that's how he's called. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the Gobbler. But he always came in. He's like, what? There they are now, the Bally Boys and all this. Like, and we'd be like, oh, yeah, the Bally Boys. And then we kept saying, oh, Bally Boys. Right. But they used to be the old school Bally Boys from Ballywillam. Like,
yeah. Where
that's where we're from. So they're like, used to be going around ages. And then it was like, oh, the Bally Boys. That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, and then there's so many Ballys in Ireland. There's like
6,000.
Is it 6,000 or 2,000, 3,000?
Oh, is it? Have you actually done your research?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Bally Boys is right.
Trying to sell a T-shirt to every single one. You know what I mean?
That's it. You're speaking to a nation here. Like,
you know what I mean? There's about 2,000 tenner T-shirt, yeah. 20 grand. You know what I mean? Then it was kind of like, oh, yeah, there's that element. There's Bally. There's so many Ballys in Ireland. Bally Moon, Bally fucking William, Bally... go backwards, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many of them. Like,
Ballybeg and Waterford.
Ballybeg, too, yeah. But so that's where the name come from then, and then just stuck with it and just kept building on the Bally Boys. It started to kind of fall into place a little from all the stuff we've been doing as
previously.
Yeah, it was like it brought all in under the one roof, and then just started doing the videos and stuff like that, and then just slowly. But
what if someone, if I said to you in the morning, like, you could be granted whatever you want?
Yeah.
Like, what would you want to do? Like, if you had all money, wasn't an issue, you didn't have to work, like, the whatever creative landscape you wanted to create.
Yeah.
Where do you see the Bally Boys?
I'd definitely like to get like some more bigger shows. I mean, try build our fan base and like just go on a worldwide tour or something.
Yeah.
You mean take it everywhere? Like, that'd be it. Like, you mean and just if we could get the few good shows
And perform a good
perform.
Show,
you mean maybe have like. You mean an old camera crew to shoot it while I direct?
Are we getting our camera crew on the ground?
Stuff that, because that like even that like I didn't know. You know what I mean? I never went to college for any of that. Like, I thought, like, you do everything on set. You edit it, you shoot it, you color grade it. And then I saw a few productions and like, that's not the case. Everyone has one job and that's it. So, like, we took on some amount of work and done it all ourselves.
Yes,
like, so it was like,
this is it.
But, like, in hindsight, it's a great thing. Like, if I knew that, like, the new video we have coming out, we're working with a photographer. He shot that for us and stuff. Like that. Dave Doherty, he's a sick photographer and stuff. So he's done our latest video. It's our next release to come out, but it's going to be sick. Like, it's
best to date, I'd say.
What? Did you have someone from D12 rap on a record?
Bizarre.
What the hell? I saw this here and I was like, they taking the piss. They actually have Bizarre on the bleeding records.
That was a good one as well.
How do you get someone from D12, actual D12,
that's
to rap on your records?
We were always growing up listening to D12.
Yeah, that was it as well. Like D12 and like our first.
How many Irish young fellas, and young ones probably, have a D12 tattoo with Eminem and D12? Like, come
that's
on,
it,
right?
Like, and then, like, even our first gig we done as the Bally Boys, D12 were playing at the festival as well. So like, we were telling everyone in our village, oh yeah, we're supporting D12. We're just bullshitting, like,
love
I think it was your 21st, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
and
your 21st.
We were all drinking at the bar. We were with me old lad and all, and I'd be on Instagram, so I'd just be looking through the different profiles. I'd be there messaging everyone. I was like, yo, what's up, man? It's like, we're gonna be the biggest band in Ireland and all this, like, and then you'd be like, oh yeah, we're gonna be massive, all this, and it's like, do you want to do a feature and all this? Like, so then sent that message. I was going through the rest of the members and all that. I was about to reach out to him. Bizarre text back, man. He was like, yo, I fucking love Ireland, man.
No way!
Like, I'm looking around and we're all like, wish, what the fuck, man? You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, all right, play it cool. You know what I mean? And then we were like, we don't have much of fucking money and all. You know what I mean? We're working fucking this, that, and the other. Like, you know? My father was there then as well. He was like, what would we say? How much would we say? Like, to me, he was like, name a price. And he was like, 200-300 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I'll do it for this. And then we were just like, yeah, too right. You know,
get money.
So we were there like, yeah, no bother. We'll send you the money in the morning. Like, and So the two of us, we split everything, like, so we have a budget for a fucking each track, like. So we got from that, and, like, to me, well, it wasn't nothing, but it was something, like, but then, like, the animated video as well, like, so we said, right, we can't get them in the videos, we need to do an animated one, like, but, like, it went through, there was a bit of back and forth, wasn't it? It was like, I sent them the beat, and then, like, David, you mean, I'm really impatient. Like, he was more chilled about it. He just forgot about it. Like, I was there, like, no, fuck this. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
send me the track.
Yeah, I want this. Like, I was like, no, I'm not going to relax until we get this back. And then it's done and dusted that we have it. Like, so it was going out of ages. Then it was like, oh, I sent it back there. Then he sent back a track and nothing on it. Like, I was like, all right, fuck this now. I goes, here, look. I goes, either send on that track or give me back my fucking money. I goes, and then he was like, oh, no, I'll do it. And the next day we had it, like, so I was that was grand, like, but, so we got the track then, and then I went to an exhibition in Dublin, Il Strips, he's a comic book artist. So I bumped into him, and I was like, I saw his artwork, and it was all kind of hip-hop related in the comic books. Like, yeah. I was like, this is sick, like, so I was like, oh, I have this idea for an animated video, like, do you have any chance to give me a hand, like, so... He's like, oh, yeah, we discussed a few ideas, and he storyboarded it all up then. So, like, we sorted him out to do the storyboard. I think it was about 25 story panels.
Wow.
Right? So it was all like that as the storyboard first. And then I found an animator. Like, this is the, like, animation, to get it done is very expensive. So we found, like, the best way we could do it, make it as cheap as possible. Like, so, like, I think the track, like, it was, like, it came in around $2,500 all in all, like, at the end of it. Like,
wow.
So it was a big investment, but it was fucking worth it.
It's worth it. You're so always cool, going to have the track with fucking Bizarre D12 on it. Like,
that's it as well.
That's it.
So you can build a career on that.
But, like, that's the thing as well. Like, it's like, we didn't really know about marketing and shit and stuff. So, like, they say whatever you spend on your track or in the studio, you should spend double in marketing. You know what I mean? So it's like one of those things. It's just like we
should have known more.
We're still learning. Like, every release we do, it's kind of like it's like we released it for the first time. You know what I mean?
You can always re-release it.
Yeah,
and do a new video or do a new animation. Like, 100%. That's what all the smart ones do. That's what all the big stars do. Christmas time, they re-release their best of. Hello.
We had a Christmas song as well. Actually, we done a Christmas song last year, but no one saw it because we shot it on Christmas Eve and released it on Christmas. So then we were like trying to big it up there.
Six hour lead up, you know. We're gonna go for the Christmas number one in 6 hours. But before I let you go, it was a quick hour and we're done, we're out. But I always ask everyone that comes in, if you were gone tomorrow and you could leave behind one message, what would it be?
Space.
Don't have any regrets. Live life to the full.
Absolutely.
I'd say it's nice to be nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just be a nice person. Don't be a dick. Like,
yes. Yeah.
There's enough shit in this world that is just...
There is. Yes.
So, just be nice to everyone you meet and hopefully it'll come back.
Yes. Mm. Well, that's the karmic law, right? Yeah. What you put out always comes back to you.
True.
That's what I hold on to. All those cunts that I've met in my day.
Yeah. Playing for camera.
You have me saying the C word now. Yeah. I see, you're such a bad influence.
It's a good word. It's a good word. Everyone hates
it. I have a rule where I'm like, I don't edit. Where, like, Shane's not allowed to edit. I'm not allowed to bleep anything out. Might bleep that out. But listen, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. It was great to have you. It was a great chat as well. It was, like, really, really cool to, like, get an insight into wherever. And thank you for the t-shirts. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the support.
And what's next? Like, what's coming up? Do we have a single release?
Yeah, we have our next track, Kicks, is coming out. So as there's a story behind it as well. That we'll save for another day. But when you see it, it'll be sick. It's more of a rappers being rappers flexing, like, so.
All right. What is flexing? Like, flexing? Sure, as like muscle flexing?
Just getting the guns out. No. Like, just fucking.
Just showing off?
Fresh kicks. Fresh get-ups and all, like, but we don't own any of it, so it's a fake flex. But and we come from the countryside as well, right? So this is the thing as well, like, we can't keep shit clean.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't keep runners clean at all. Like, so everyone going around with it, I think that's a bit, like, overrated and rapid.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible to do.
Yes, like, it is.
Especially where you come from. So
that speak your truth.
There you go.
But I meant to ask, who is the guy in the They Live video? He is one cool looking motherfucker.
So that's Sean Daly Kearney. Shout out to Sean. He was actually in Angela's ashes when they were babies.
He's
a twin brother, Oisin. You can see him in the background somewhere.
And is he still acting?
No. Other than
it was a quick career as a toddler.
He's actually a musician, so he's
no way.
Yeah, I think Wizard Fruit or something is the band they're in. But he's a bally boy as well. Their father would have been Liam Kearney, so he would have been in Gangs of New York. He's and Glenroe. You know what I mean?
Glenroe. Say no more. Brilliant. Very quickly before you let it go, could you throw down a verse?
Could you do a little something?
We have a thing where we like, if you can do a bit of something, you have to do a bit of something.
All right. I only wrote this week. Yeah, they used to say to me, hey, DJ, temper. Head's got an evil agenda like Ed Kemper. Bally boys, we the mob from the bog, barrel sawn off, leave holes in you like a gauze, leaving fate to a coin toss. So you like your odds, trying to imitate the gods, playing God, you what think they lost? Ain't sick, you what smokers cough. Now they stick you with the shot that you got from the boss of Microsoft. Now the prick got you dying on the cross, you get fleas when you're lying with dogs. Fuck the guards and the laws, dancing on the beach, getting applause, while the rest of us are inside waiting to rot. Think of what I lose first, show me money. Me job, but came for the pot and taking the law. Ill-gotten loots and forbidden fruits. You could get duck, goose. Real life and scary is the news. That's the fucked up truth. Massage your neck with the noose till it hurts to speak. The art will be inherited by the geek. Can't turn the cheek to the four-eyed freak. Bill, you creep. You're killing the weak. I'm calling you out the box. A fair knock. Ratty axe chops. Switch it like a log. Your weight will hurt to watch. Time to jam the cogs. Reverse the course, but can't turn back the clocks. The killionaires can and must be stopped.
Yes! Brilliant! Yo, I can't believe you've got Duck Duck going there. Yes, we are on the level, my friend.
Space, man. It's on space.
All right.
I'm going to the phone.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So you want to make it, I want to take it and break it, shape it. No time for the basics, we live in here, dying to waste it. Should have been a crime to the nation, I'll never live another life on a spaceship. Solo acquaintance, I know me sold. I ain't got no godly relations, fear waiting. Feel the fear of loathing when I'm floating in Vegas. They say the planet's the only thing that can save us. I'm here, landing, just waiting. I'll stick me hand out, speak your mind and stand out. Lord knows that this man has doubts, but what it is if I'll ever find out. Respect yourself. I ain't here to try and make you think I'm someone else. Breaking in this living hell, through these villains it tells. In these fields that I dwell, oh well. You thinking I'ma live another life without blinking. Quit drinking, I don't need the devil tell me what I'm thinking. Stuck when you stay at home. I ain't ever gonna be the man of this throne. I'm here stranded, yeah, fuck a man me own. Man of a clone, ghost bones feeling like I straddled across the ozone.
Yeah, brilliant. So good, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So sick, thank you. But thank you so much for coming in again, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys do.
Thank you.
And I will continue to spread the good words, the good Bally Boys words. Yep. I know it's not Waterford, but we have to stick together. Like we're down the same area. My ma's actually from Wexford.
You're from Tomorrow then, mother?
No, I used to, because we were talking, yes. Yeah, so yeah, SP.
Shout out, so, son.
Shout
fanatic.
Out to SP, the G's. But there's another chat that we made music videos for. He's a techno DJ.
Go on.
Oliver Twisted, right?
Right.
He's from Tremor. Check out.
No way. Well, I'm not from Tremor, but yeah. Listen, I might as well. Waterford. We have to stick together.
Up the dish,
right. But yeah, I'll check him out. And hopefully get Sons Phonetic up here as well.
Definitely. Shout out to the working class. All the boys doing their thing.
Absolutely. Giga.
Yup.
And Bob Pepper, let's go. Thank you so much. Take it easy. The Bally Boys for the First Exchange.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.